The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you're all here with me today. We have a wonderful show in store for you with a very special lady. Looking forward to our conversation today. I hope you all are tuning in to the other shows on talkradio.nyc, especially Reverend Dr. Tara Lynn Curry Avery's show right before mine, Dismantling Racism. A very good show. Today she was talking with someone who was descendant of the largest slave trader and sort of his change and how he's now working towards helping to end racism. So wonderful show. You didn't catch it live. Hope you can catch the rerun on talkradio.nyc. Anyway, let's get started. Of course, as we always do, start off with a little section from my book, Everyday Awakening. And the section today is entitled, There is a New Path on the other side of that awkward conversation. We all avoid having uncomfortable conversations, the ones where we know we will feel awkward and where we are not sure of the outcome. Avoidance keeps us from experiencing something amazing. It keeps us from finding out what is on the other side. It stops us from the gold that is underneath the surface waiting to be dug up. Perhaps you already had one conversation and there was something left unsaid. You knew at the time there was a lot more to it, yet you didn't ask. And because you didn't explore, the real conversation didn't happen. The good news is that there's usually another opportunity. You can still reach out. The key to finding a new path for us to go where we didn't go last time, to be nervous and to still say what wasn't said last time, to ask for what we want and didn't speak up about before. The truly amazing thing about doing this is that most of the time, the answers we receive are not what we would have expected. In fact, an answer can be the complete opposite of what we expect, or something that takes us in such a different direction that it never even came to mind. And now that we're having a whole new conversation, one that takes us to an undiscovered country, where now we are free to create something new and different. Or perhaps we learn that it really is time to move on, that the path that we were on before has truly come to an end. So now we know and we are free to start a new path. Regardless of the direction of a difficult conversation, it will bring something new into our lives. It will liberate us from the fear that kept us from asking in the first place. And we will grow and transform as we move forward in our lives. We may even look back on that trepidation that kept us from asking to talk in the first place and wonder why we waited such a long time. Is there a difficult conversation you've been putting off? Can you now approach it with an air of excitement of what might be on the other side of that conversation? So this section of my book I wrote, it was a while ago. I mean, the book came out 2 years ago, so it was more than 2 years. It was probably about 3-4 years ago. And this section I kind of wrote after a couple of things. One was I was having conversations with people who were working with the same person, the same teacher I was working with at the time. And they were complaining to me about the way he is, and I've experienced it myself, and their challenges and the way they were treated and this and that. And I was, well, did you talk to him about it? Did you talk to the person above him about it? And they were like, no, and they were kind of timid about it, and they were afraid because he was the only teacher in this area. And so it really kept more than one person from really speaking up and having this conversation. And I really didn't know what to say to them other than talk to him, talk to him and express what you feel. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, find someone else. So that was sort of the first piece of it. And then I was having a conversation actually with my wife, and it was a little bit challenging to kind of bring up the topic at the time. I can't even remember exactly what it was, but I remember that, and actually, I don't even think I was the one who brought it up. Usually she notices something and she kind of digs into me and she's like, you know, what's going on with this? And then I respond. And I remember I was a little fearful, or I was a little, you know, nervous about having this conversation. And then we had the conversation, and then things turned out in a totally different direction. That what I was afraid of was actually nowhere near what ended up happening, and the conversation was actually very good and brought us closer together. And that vulnerability, that willingness to talk, really made a huge difference. And so then I realized that, and that's how this kind of section of the book came up, was I had this impression, I had this fear, I had this projection of what would happen if we had this conversation. And the truth was, actually, it was nothing like that. And it was all just in my own imagination, and it kept me from having this important conversation. And so I realized from this that actually, if I have a little more openness, that if I'm a little more willing to be vulnerable, if I'm willing to be okay with the uncertainty of where the conversation could go, that it actually opens up to this whole new opportunity to discover things that I never would have discovered otherwise. And so it sort of humbled me. And it helped me to realize that awkward conversations, yeah, we don't like to have them. We tend to avoid them. But so often, the other side of that awkward conversation is something we never would have imagined. And actually, it's so important to have those awkward conversations. Like, those are the gold in our life. Those are the real meat and the juice of things. So I guess this is just my way of saying, if you're feeling nervous about talking about something with somebody, then that's a wonderful sign that that's absolutely the conversation you need to have. Now, look, I'm not saying these conversations always work out in a wonderful, beautiful way. Of course not. Sometimes it means, okay, we've got to come to the end of something. But if that's where things are going, why delay it? Why put it off? Sometimes we need to come to that ending so that we can come to a new beginning. And that sometimes, you know, we might be afraid of expressing ourselves because of what could happen, but sometimes what then happens is actually what we really wanted and what we were looking for. So I know it's not easy. I know it's challenging. I know it's the most confronting thing. And in my experience, I've also learned, not only is it the most confronting thing, it also can be the most valuable thing that we do. So that's our section from my book, Everyday Awakening. The section is called There is a New Path on the Other Side of That Awkward Conversation. And of course, you can get my book, Everyday Awakening, at www.everydayawakeningbook.com. That'll take you right to the listing on Amazon. But if you're like me and you like supporting independent bookstores, please feel free. You know, we're in a major distributors, so just ask your local bookstore to order it for you if you haven't gotten it yet. Okay, now it is my extreme pleasure to bring onto the show a dream coach, storyteller, and multi-time author, Pearl Greger. Pearl is an explorer and a seeker. She is the author of three books in the Dreams Along the Way series. She's a farmer, a grandmother, a blogger, and a crone of wisdom. Pearl experienced years of personal turmoil beginning about the age of 9. Nightmares, depression, psychologists, and finally psychiatrists, prescriptions, and prayers, and nothing but nothing worked. Then at the age of 43, she discovered meditation, and in the December of 1988, learned that she could ask for a dream. That first dream unleashed an avalanche of change. Like the mythical goddess Inanna, Pearl lived the descent into the underworld. Dreams, prayer, meditation, reading, and journaling led her through that long and intense 7-year journey to heal her shredded feminine soul. She is the author of the books, I, the Woman Planted the Tree, Authoring Self, and Cauldron of the Feminine. And it is my pleasure to welcome Pearl to the show. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Pearl.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Sam. It's a total delight to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have someone with your years of experience and your wisdom to come on to the show. I haven't always in my life honored older people, but I've learned over the years that people such as yourself, you've lived so much, you've experienced so much, you have so much wisdom to share that I've really learned that there's so much value in speaking with people who are older than I am.
Thank you for that, Sam, because it's not always the way it is in our culture. Our culture does not have a lot of honor for the elders. Yeah. It's something that even the elders don't understand, that they have to step out themselves and to kind of invite that respect. Otherwise, nobody knows they're around.
Right, right. Yeah. And I've also, what's helped me a lot to cultivate this also is because my wife is Chinese, and in the Asian cultures, they so much more honor the elderly in their culture. So over the years, I've been married over 19 years now, like I've gotten a lot of that from her as well. Yes. And to me, that also highlights the point of the importance of allowing ourselves to be exposed to other cultures, mm-hmm. that when we expose ourselves to other ways of being in the world, that we actually enrich our lives and we can learn from different cultures and take the best of different cultures.
that's very apparent in both Canada and the United States, because we have a diverse, very diverse culture with people from all over the world. And we if we're careful and if we're listeners, we learn a lot from those other cultures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Pearl, I want to get into your background a little bit and how you kind of came to all this, but we have to take our first break. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I would love for you to kind of give our audience a bit of a background. You know, what happened to you when you were young? What was your path like until, you know, how did you discover meditation? And then, you know, what happened from then on? Okay.
I can do that.
All right. Wonderful. So everybody, and I see, I just want to give a quick shout out to a loyal listener, Patty, on YouTube Live. Thank you, Patty, for listening and sharing. And everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday at noon on talkradio.nyc Eastern Time. And as well, you can hear us live on KMET in Palm Springs, California, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, and all across the internet and all the podcasting platforms. And we will be right back with Pearl Gregor in just a moment.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Pearl, what happened to you as a child and how were you able to kind of get yourself out of that situation?
Well, the whole situation began when I was 9 years old, when it began with nightmares, and nobody knew where they came from or why they were there. They lasted, as I said, for many, many years. I got worse when I was 16, went into young womanhood. And by 19, I was under psychological care and my life went on. I was able to carry on. I come from a very strong, strong family background, which is a big blessing. Stable rural family in homestead, Crooked Creek, Alberta, which is very, very far north from where you are for sure. Yeah. And we went to log schools. I drove horses to school, rode horseback to school. It was like the Little House on the Prairie sort of idea. People can get that picture. And I was born in 1945, which was the end of World War II, of course. And things opened up a great deal in where I lived. And by the time I was in my 20s, I went to university. I got my first degree when I was 32. And life series went on. I mean, I got married, I did all the things that normal people do, and with a constant depression in the background. So by the time I got to be 43, I was desperate. I was hearing voices. In fact, one day my grade nines, I had a class of grade nine students once a day. And at halfway through the class, I noticed they were getting quite restless. By the end of the class, several of them came up and said, "Can we talk to you?" And I said, "Sure, what do you need?" They said, "Oh, it's not us, it's you. We think you're ill and you should go home. You usually make sense, Mrs. Greger. Today, you didn't make any sense at all." So I went home. Those kids were probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Because they had that conversation that you said a minute ago. That was a difficult conversation for them to go to their teacher and say, "We think you're sick and you should go home." I went home and I went back to the psychiatrist. And from there, things did not evolve very well. They just got worse. By the time, months went on, one of my girlfriends said, "Okay, Pearl, you have tried everything. It's time to do something different. So come with me. We'll go to this meditation group." So that's what we did. That was the beginning right there. I began to get into meditation. I meditated probably too much because I ended up ill. Started in April. By August, I ended up in the hospital because I was very, very ill. I was throwing up from every part of my body, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
And so that meant 10 days in the hospital. And I was on intravenous for that period of time. When they finally sent me home, I was completely, I don't know even what word I would use, desperate, more desperate, because I had no idea what was happening. Years later, I was in New York and I was explaining to the instructor about what had happened. And she said, "Well, Pearl, that's called holy shit," because it's a big toxic release from meditation. And so I had, in 1988, that was August of 1988, by December, my family thought maybe I was getting into the occult because of the meditation. I'm a Roman Catholic by birth and by a long, long, long lineage back to the time of Luther. So that meant that there was some fear around getting into things I shouldn't be into. And one of my brothers and wife sent me a box of books. And in that box of books was a book that said A Christian Approach to Dream Work. And it said I could ask for a dream, which I did.
Okay.
That was probably the second best thing that happened. Meditation being the first, this being the second. And so that I read that book that night. I'm an addicted reader, as many people are. And I read that book and it said, ask for a dream. And I did. I got a dream. Mm-hmm. And in that dream, I can tell people the dream because I remember it. Archetypal dreams like that one stay with you a very long time.
Yeah.
They don't recede. And that one, I can close my eyes and I can feel it. I'm on the eighth floor in that dream of the Harley Court building, which is where my office was. Only my office is really on the seventh floor. That becomes critically important, that idea of seven, because dreams are symbolic.
Right.
They're never literal. So I was on the eighth, but in the dream, I was on the seventh. So the first question you ask now that I know about dreams is, why the seventh? Why did the dream say the seventh? Well, I'll get back to that. So I step into the elevator and the elevator begins to fall. Now, in dreams, I have fallen for thousands of miles in my dreams over from age 9 to 43, as you can imagine.
Wow.
Whenever I had the dream, and it was a repetitive dream, I was being chased by a man with a scarred face. So this time I wasn't, but I was falling in this dream. And I had read about falling. And falling, when I woke up from the dream, I realized what had happened. Many months later, not right away. So I fell, and there was a lot of women around me in the elevator. They were screaming, and I'm praying, "Jesus, make it safe," all the way down. Finally, I land in lamb's wool or chicken feathers. I'm not sure which one it was. But when I go back to the dream, go to the first sentence and go to the last sentence, I'm in an elevator. An elevator is a city thing. We don't find them in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken feathers and lamb's wool is a country thing. It's an organic thing. It's very different. Masculine being the city, feminine being the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to realize as I went through that dream, on the seventh floor was a sacred number, seven commandments, seven sins, seven there's many, many sevens in biblical terms. Mm-hmm. And many dreams have some sense of spirituality in them. And oftentimes we don't get to that right away because our culture doesn't understand that very well, especially right. The symbolic part. They may know the literal part, but the symbolism they don't remember. So that dream told me that I was going to take a fall, and I would fall, but I would be safe. And I did not realize that right away, as you can imagine. I had never had a dream before. I'd always had nightmares. I didn't know what dreams meant. So I began to read about what dreams can tell you. And I learned from Carl Jung, mostly the work of Carl Jung, which most of the listeners will either have heard of, or some will be very familiar with the writings and the work of Carl Jung, especially today. There's a lot more awareness than there was in 1988. 88 is 35 years ago.
Yeah, hard to believe, God.
It's a long, long time ago. I mean, 35 years ago, you were not, I don't know how quite old you were, but you sir were not doing radio shows, I'm pretty sure.
No, I wasn't doing radio shows, but I was already working.
Yes. So, but you know, the difference between being 35 and even 43 is quite different. Yes. Midlife happens for women and for men. Midlife changes your inner world a great deal. Yeah. It's your big opportunity. If you're at midlife out there in your listening world, pay attention to the changes that might be happening, because they are incredible if you're paying attention. And you can, my whole life turned around at that point, because that was the first dream. Then I went to a meditation and a prayer group on the 2nd of January. And in that dream, or in that evening, there was a gentleman in that group. And he said, "Pearl, there's a message for you that you're not listening to." The message said, "The endurance run is over." And there was a vision of silver coins and a river, real river of silver coins, and a field of sunflowers. Hmm. Well, you think about that. I mean, what do sunflowers mean in symbolism? A whole river and silver coin, what's that about? And what was the possible message of the endurance run is over? I hadn't got a clue, but my energy level went through the roof in that moment. Wow. So I left there. When I got home, I began to read some more to try to find out what does this all mean. I discovered that the symbolism of the sunflower is I can't even pronounce the name. It's Fibonacci,
and it's Fibonacci. Yes,
Fibonacci, and you're. Many people will be aware of that as well. It's the pi r squared number. Mm-hmm. And it tells us a lot. And the sunflower turns to follow the sun. Right. And it turns, and that's what we have to do. We have to turn to follow the sun. So it took me a long time to understand that. And a river of silver coin is wealth. It's riches, but it's silver. It's the notion of there's a wealth of in the inner world that's available to you. But again, it took a long time to discover that.
Right.
So
I'm just curious. We're going to need to take a break in a minute or so, but I want to just go back to 9 years old and you start having nightmares. Was there anything that preceded that? Was there some trauma or something that happened that caused the nightmare, or was it just out of the blue with absolutely no explanation?
At the time, it didn't think there was an explanation. I'll get to the explanation in about another minute.
Oh, okay.
The explanation came through meditation. Again, that idea that I had to understand the symbolism of what was happening and where this was possibly coming from. It was a great amount of repressed trauma in my life. I'd had a great trauma, but I didn't remember the trauma. It was when I was 2 years old. And my parents did not know about it either. It was at a church picnic. I was molested as a small child before I could talk and explain to anybody what was going on. This came through to me in another meditation in symbols. And it blew the whole. In that evening, I received the gift of forgiveness and compassion. And that whole story came flooding through me. And I have never, again, experienced that level of energy in my body. My body turned blue. a little bit like the color of your talking radio,
the talk radio logo. Yeah.
The logo. It kind of that I could see through my hands. That's how powerful the energy was that went through my body. And so I'd had some really energetic experiences prior to this. As I said, when I had the conversation with about the river of silver coin and the endurance run, that was an evening where it wasn't as powerful as the meditation evening, but it was darn close. Wow. And so you get, I mean, there had been before this, there had been another event at St. Basil's where I went to a prayer meeting, which I'd never gone to before and have never done since. And in that prayer meeting, I met an older man, big man, who he and his wife prayed over me. Dreams in this journey often require some sense of spiritual event. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be in church. Mine were not in church, because in my world, the world is everyone's church if we were paying attention. It doesn't have to be a building that's dedicated to this idea. Right. So that evening with the meditation, when my body turned blue and I could see through it, and I could hear this conversation going on. My girlfriend was there. Two girlfriends were with me throughout the experience. And it was...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Of any other words, it's something that you can't even put into words. So,
I understand. So I would like to just take a quick pause there. We need to take just a quick break. And then when we come back from the break, I'd like to start talking about, as you learn more about dreams, like what brought you to write the first book? When did you decide that you wanted to sort of share your experiences in a broader way? Okay.
Yeah. All right. We can talk about that, because that was a very specific point in day and time.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back with Pearl Gregor in just a moment.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So Pearl, so you started to dive in, you know, meditation, asking for dreams, interpreting dreams, understanding dreams better, studying the works of people like Carl Jung. What brought you to that point where you decided you wanted to share this in a more public way by writing a book?
Well, it was a strange event. I was driving, I was a consultant at that time of my life. I was working as a government consultant in social studies. I was driving one early morning to a workshop where I was doing the workshop. It's a 200-mile drive, so I had a lot of time to think. And as I was driving, a voice came out of the back seat of my car, which sounds pretty strange. And it was strange. It said, write dreams along the way. And I'm thinking, the voice, this is too crazy. The voice says, write dreams along the way. And I keep driving. Write dreams along the way. I stop my car. I get out. I walk around three times. What would you do if you hear a voice behind you?
Yeah.
So I walked around and kind of give my head a shake, get back in. And the voice says more insistently, write dreams along the way. Okay. So I began to do that. But that's 1990 or 92. That's a far way from the end of my journey. I didn't actually sit down to write till I had a series of strokes in 2014. So it was a long time before. It takes a lot of courage to start to write your own story, one that's kind of not a regular story. It's not normal. I've not read too many kind of stories like this. And to put dreams in it and to put meditation and journaling in it, when I wrote the books, even that was difficult to do, because you keep thinking, who's going to read this? Who's going to laugh? They're going to think this is completely ridiculous and pretty strange. However, I had this inner voice that talked, and when it finally came time, I had the strokes. I went from my farm to spend the winter in Victoria, British Columbia. I took with me some books that I was reading. I took as many journals. I had put the journals. Everything was typed into my computer so that I could search and find a particular dream or a particular word. So I could quite easily put things together that way. Right. So I began to write when I got to Victoria. And before I left, it was another strange event, a little synchronicity that happens in people's lives all the time. If I paid attention, my son was waiting to take me to the plane. He was waiting in the car. I said, just a minute, Colin. And I came in the house. I picked up a little book called Initiation, The Way of Initiation, sent to the goddess. And so that book was a clear message around Inanna, the descent to Inanna. And I found that the dreams had followed that descent all the way through to a dream that came close to the end of the journey that I was on. Mm-hmm. 7-year journey. And maybe that was related to the 7 years in that first dream, the 7 floors that I would fall. I don't know. But the 7 came up quite often. Many people will remember 7 as a lucky number. Well, there's a reason for luck, and it's quite often related to more than luck. Mm. It's again related to that spiritual world that many of us live in and we're not real aware of, that living, that we're surrounded by a loving presence at all times that we don't really pay a lot of attention to. But I began to write that book, and I published it in 2018. So that took quite a long time to write the first book. Mm-hmm. The second and the third came quickly right thereafter, because I now knew where I was trying to go with this book, and I knew where I wanted to end. Mm-hmm. It ended at 7 years, very, very close to 7 years. So that's how I started the first one. And the second one came in 2019. The third one in 2020. Wow. It came very, very quickly.
In the process of writing these books, did you learn anything about yourself that kind of surprised you? Or was it really just the telling of a story for you? Sorry, I missed that.
I said I learned a great deal about myself, because in the dream, I had no idea that this descent is so possible, and it changed my identity. I became much more outgoing than I was. I'm an introvert by personality, and by testing, by inventory of personality, I'm a very, very deep introvert, actually. And I learned that I am an introvert, and that's normal. There's 25% of the world are introverts. We're outnumbered by extroverts quite significantly. So we think there's something wrong with us, but there really isn't. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a book written by Susan Cain called Quiet. And she claims that introverts will take over the world eventually. So I'm with her. We're in the process of taking over the world, because we tend to not, our modus operandi is not to say anything until we're sure that we know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't go on talk shows until we're pretty sure. We don't write books until we're darn sure. We think about things for a long time. Now, the journaling was a big part of what I had. Every dream was written in a journal, every dream that I ever had.
Okay.
So as I'm working with those dreams as they came along, or it would have been too overwhelming to start to write in 2015 and try to make sense of all that dream material, because I had 22 journals when I started. I have about 35 now.
Wow.
But so that's just what you're doing all the time. And you discover that symbolism pops up in the strangest places. When you're reading books that have no relationship to dreams, I was reading a book, for example, by Estes called Women Who Run with the Wolves. It's quite a famous book among women. Mm-hmm. And in there, she talks about this the old mother who teaches her children through difficult times that their endurance is important. And when they finally hear the word, the endurance run is over, they know that they've learned what they're needing to learn. So that depression taught me a lot of compassion for people who are having illnesses. I mean, and forgiveness for myself and the man who molested me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when that experience of the was happening, I was mumbling to myself, that poor man. My girlfriend I could kill him, because she was so angry with what I had lived through. And that all was gone for me. I never for one minute felt angry with what had happened, which is quite strange when you think of being depressed for all those years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it was gone. And that I'm forever thankful for, because I wasn't left with the bitterness. I was left with a great joy, actually, that I had learned so much about what I needed to do in my life.
Mm-hmm. It really sounds like your whole life is really like a spiritual journey, that took you places you didn't even expect to go.
It absolutely took me places I had no idea were even available. I mean, I had prayed. As a young kid, I was very attuned to the saints, and I would read, and I read about really strange stuff. If you read the lives of the saints, you'll recognize that there were saints who were beheaded. There were saints who were, Joan of Arc comes to mind. Saint Cecilia comes to mind. That's my middle name. She was beheaded for her faith. And those women were, some of them were incredibly powerful. I don't think that was healthy that they were willing to do that. I don't think that's necessarily what we're after in the world of spirituality. However, that's what they lived through. And I was quite, I knew that miracles had happened. I had read the miracles of Fatima, the miracles at Lourdes, the miracles of Medjugorje. I was familiar with all that and had a deep devotion to Mother Mary. I didn't talk much about an experience I had when I was 16. I went away to school. I was very attuned to music, and I was going to take music and voice. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a great musician, and he was pleased as punch that I wanted to do that. So off I went to Calgary, which is about 300 miles, 350 miles maybe from where I grew up, mm-hmm. to go to private school. I didn't last very long because I began to hear voices there too, but they were not voices that I didn't know anything about that idea. I had no clue about what that could possibly mean. I didn't know much more about it when I was 43, but I knew that it hadn't killed me before when it happened, you know, so it wasn't, for me, it was just part of what happened. Hmm. And I would just get to the point where I would hear voices and they would be garbled. There was nothing I could make of them. Eventually they became much more clear. And they said things that I could understand, like the endurance run is over. That's not a normal thing, but it's clear. At least you didn't have a clue what it meant, but at least it was clear. It wasn't garbled.
Right. You know? Do you still hear voices?
Not as much. Now I'm much more aware of your own inner voice. Everybody has an inner voice. We just don't learn to pay attention. I learned a great deal about intuition. Mm-hmm. What is intuition? And following my intuition and not being afraid to do what doesn't look like it's should be done. Mm-hmm. It's something that you just go and you have this idea that you need to talk to a certain person. You walk across the room and you talk to them, right. Which is different than I did a Meyer Briggs when I was in New York studying dreams in 1991. I went to Murray Knoll Center. You may know it. It's in the Hudson River Valley as in part of New York. Anyway, I went down there and I know I've forgotten where I was going with this story. Where I was going to, I wasn't hearing voices.
You were saying something about the Myers-Briggs test you took.
Right. Father John Rich was the man in charge of this. There was a lady as well. Sister Sylvia and another man, a Baptist minister, who was running this dream intensive, they called it. And so he said to me, do you want to do a Myers-Briggs? He said, I think you should. So I did it. He comes back a little while later. He's got the results. And he says, so Pearl, if you go into a room with 100 people, what do? I said, hide behind a post. You know, that's where I would have been at the back of the room where nobody, I'd be sure nobody would talk to me. I would be perfectly safe back there. Right. So that's, I learned about being an introvert. I had never known that before. Mm-hmm. In fact, quite often that's a bit of an insult when somebody say, well, you must be an introvert. It's not something that's a powerful thing, but it became a big part of who I was. And it became part of who I was as a person. I could go for days and write and write and write and not worry about anybody around me.
Yeah. Well, I know some very powerful, very special people who are introverts, so you're in good company.
Yes.
All right, we have to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I would love to hear what kind of advice you would have for people today, younger people, who have some unexplainable experience and they're sort of starting their spiritual journey, like what advice you would have for them. Okay, Pearl?
Oh, yes, okay.
All right, wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour has been Pearl Gregor, and we will be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Pearl Gregor, author of the Dreams Along the Way books. So Pearl, you've had some very unusual experiences, though I have to tell you, I've had a lot of people on my show over the years who've had also had unusual experiences, so you're in good company. And I'm just wondering, for our audience who are listening, who maybe they've just had some strange experiences, some strange dreams, or they somehow got attracted to something that they don't understand. What advice would you have for somebody who's in a way just starting their spiritual journey?
Well, if I was to do this over again, of course you have to think about it. It just came. It wasn't a plan. There was no plan to have this kind of thing happen. I was very lucky that I had people around me saying, well, maybe you need to try this. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you write down the experience, first of all. And you write down the questions that you would have about the experience, because when I write the questions, I often get the answers. If I intend, intentionality is a huge part of this. I intend to understand this experience. And so things start to happen that come to me. And you need to learn a little bit about journaling. Because journaling, writing is the most powerful mechanism that we have. Talking is nowhere near writing. You can listen to many people, but you need to write down or draw some way of keeping that or getting that into a body, embodied experience, what we talk about as embodied. Mm. You need to participate in something mental, something spiritual, something emotional, and something physical. So, I mean, the physicality of it, my husband was very determined that I would go to the sauna because the depression was huge, but the sauna seemed somehow to relieve some of that. Oh. And I don't know why, but think about the ancient Aboriginal people and what they did with hot baths or with their sweat lodges. Mm-hmm. Those are not just to make you feel better. Those are the intense heat and the intense experience of a sauna or a heat lodge will bring sometimes some of these adventures that people go on. And so writing them down and recording them somehow, and then paying attention and trying to read about that experience, not that particular experience, but let's say dreams, because when I learned about dreams, I learned about the unconscious. And that's where this experience as a young child, I had put this experience away, because what does a two-year-old or an 18-month-old child understand about this? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
But it has an impact. We don't realize what an impact these kinds of events have on small children. We think they forget about it. Well, they forget about it, but it's not forgotten. It's forgotten in the mind. The body never forgets.
Yes.
You've probably heard Gabor Mate.
Yes.
And he is very, his book, The Body Knows, is so true for anyone who's had these kinds of experiences. The body remembers. And the body going through depression has a very bad time of it. My body is still trying to recover from all of those years of depression. So it's not something that just goes away. The inner world of it changed, but the outer world of it from the body perspective took a lot of Reiki, took a lot of meditation and a lot of massage, a lot of walking. I did a tons of walking.
Yeah, walking is very good.
Walking, meditative walking, labyrinth walking, walking for an intention of healing. So those are, I would start with walking and writing. And I would start with reading, walking and writing, and meditation is huge, because when we go into our own interior world, learning to be quiet, and we can't hear our own self if we're not ever quiet. We don't shut up long enough to hear ourselves. You know, we have to. It's hard work in a culture that talks all the time.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Put the phone down, stop texting.
Talk, exactly. Set an hour a day, at least, bare minimum, especially before you go to sleep, and ask yourself to remember a dream. I will remember a dream tonight. And then learn to work with those dreams. I mean, I learned, and I now work with tons of people in there with their dreams. And Zoom, I mean, I hate to say it, but the pandemic has been a gift for people, because they were at home.
Yes.
They found out about dream work, and they got on the Zoom calls with me. And that's a big gift for me and for them, because I like to share what I know, and it's important for other people to hear. It's going on talk shows like yours, thank you for inviting me, that make a big difference for people. Because they can hear that this is a person who seems fairly normal, or sounds fairly normal, I think, but has had some incredible experiences with healing.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people work with their dreams. And the first thing I hear is, well, I had this weird dream last night. Of course it was weird. Weird means wise. It's just indifferent. It's not in pure English.
But
weird, if you look at the etymology of weird, it would be wise. So I would say, I'm a weird old woman. And I've actually given talks about being weird, because it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, wonderful. I mean.
Well, Pearl, we're coming to the end of the show. Before we end, I would just love to give you an opportunity to share with people. I don't know if you have a website or where people can find your books. So just to let people know if something you said kind of sparked an interest in them, how they can reach out to you.
They can go to Amazon.ca or Amazon.com. My books are all there. The names of them are I, the Woman Planted the Tree, Authoring Self, and Cauldron of the Feminine. If you look up dreams, my name will come up. I do have a website. It's got a lot of my experiences written on the website. So you can look and you can sign up for Dream Circle on there. You can sign up for individual sessions. Many people start with individual because they've got very personal stories that they don't want to share with a big group of people yet.
Right.
And they're not ready to get into that, which is fine.
And your website is pearlgregor.com?
No, my website is www.dreamsalongtheway.
Oh, Dreams Along the Way, yes.
Yeah, Dreams Along the Way.
Yes.
It's quite easy. And even if you just look up dreams, my website will usually pops up close to the top, if not at the top. So
wonderful. Well, Pearl, thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show today. I truly appreciate you. I know you've had a very interesting life, which isn't always an easy life, but an interesting life. And I really appreciate you sharing your story and sharing yourself with people, because I agree with you, more people need to hear stories like this so they can understand that, you know, that there is more to life sometimes than we take for granted.
Yeah, there's a great deal for life, especially when you begin to look at it from a different perspective, which will happen when you begin to study dreams, because they will force you to look at a different perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been a great pleasure to talk about my experiences, and hopefully other people will be curious about those experiences and come and talk with me on my website.
Yes.
And that's always open to, and it's around the world, which is the best thing of the modern age.
Yes.
You can talk to people in all parts of the planet.
Yeah. And we'll make sure to post a link to the website on the show notes. So thank you. Thank you, Pearl. Thank you all. Thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in today. You know, without you, there is no show. And of course, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, on YouTube, and on all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, whatever your favorite podcasting platform is, just search the Conscious Consultant Hour and you'll find it there. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Look
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.